the rest of the story. When director Steven Spielberg began work on his most challenging movie project to date, Jurassic Park, he established a prime directive that the dinosaurs be animals, not monsters, that they behave not as the caricature dinosaurs in B-movies of the past, but rather as the creatures which they were. Now, in writing the novel on which the movie would be based, Michael Crichton had intended his dinosaurs as metaphors for science run amok, prehistorics cloned and recreated because it was possible, not because it was advisable. And yet, in its transition to the big screen, director Spielberg wanted Crichton's story to be, well, he wanted to be real. And to achieve that reality, he invoked the most respected names in the field of paleontology. Brought him right into the movie-making process. The film's principal advisor would be John R. Horner, chief paleontologist at Montana State University's Museum of the Rockies. His comments, in one way or another, shaped every feature of Spielberg's creatures, from the oft-missing tooth to the part of the foot that touched the ground first. Regarding Spielberg's recreations, Horner would later say they are the best dinosaurs people have ever made, period. Joining the host of experts were paleontologist David Weisselhampel, who provided simulations of the sounds that dinosaurs are believed to have made, and master animator Phil Tippett, whose knowledge of his subjects extended to the subtle movement of a head or the precise excursion of a retracted jaw. But on one point, Steven Spielberg decided to compromise the facts. Why and what happened is the rest of the story. Dinosaur enthusiasts may go to see the movie for a close encounter with a tyrannosaur. But the real villains of Jurassic Park were the velociraptors. The velociraptors, cagey, vicious predator dinosaurs that hunt in packs and think their way through the stalking of their prey. In the real world that once was, the raptor had slashing, razor-sharp, 6-inch claws. Yet it stood only 4 or 5 feet tall. Well, that presented Steven Spielberg with a problem. To portray the raptor's stature according to science would be to belie its ferocious nature, to minimize the devastating creature that he surely was. So there was much discussion. The technicians shrugged. The experts warned that the credibility of the movie was on the line, and yet in the end, Steven Spielberg followed his instincts. Because so few raptor specimens had been found, it was impossible to arrive at a definite conclusion. Therefore, the raptor villains of Jurassic Park would be half again as large as they were thought to have been. That is, small enough to enter a building, but larger than a man. Now, when you see the movie this summer, as you most likely will, you will also recall the director's instinctive compromise with authenticity. But you will not be disappointed, because you will also remember what I'm about to relate. Before the shooting of Jurassic Park had been completed, long after Spielberg had committed to this one intentional error, paleontologists in Utah unearthed something they could not explain. The bones of a real raptor, and precisely the size of Steven Spielberg's. They were as he had imagined them to be. And now you know the rest of the story.